Blog Talk Radio.
Reader's Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Behind the Mask. I'm your host, Ed English. As always, our phone lines are open. That was interesting. Our phone lines are open at 646-200-4071. I must apologize to my listeners because I actually had the streaming audio open in a different window and I was hearing it in my headphones and totally threw me off. The phone lines are open, 646-200-4071. Our guest tonight, Russ Battaglia, owner and operator of A-Plus Comics in Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome to the show, Russ.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
Just for our listeners' sake, tell us about your first exposure to comics. If you're like me, I'm sure you started when you were a kid. And then tell us a little bit about what prompted you to start a comic book store.
Well, my first experiences were back in about 1985 at age 15, trading for Spider-Man Daredevil comics, and then again kind of fading out and then getting back into the early 90s, buying Batman up when Bruce Wayne had his back broke. That really drove me, going through the death of Robin, then fading back out again. But what really kindled it for me to open up a business was my 8-year-old son at the time, back in 2000, was into Pokemon and wanted to go into these different stores. I, as a parent and as a consumer, didn't feel that the stores that were out there appreciated me as a customer. They had three hows. How much do you got? How much are you going to spend and how long are you going to take? And I said, the heck with it. I'll open up my own place. And I went into the industry really not knowing the industry well in 2000. But the number one rule of thumb is listen to the customers, try to get them what they want, and they'll support you.
So when you got started, in 2000, there is even now, there's an increasingly broad availability of comic titles. I mean, it used to be back, you had the big two, DC and Marvel, and maybe Archie and some other that weren't quite so big. But then with Dark Horse and Image coming up in the 90s and just thousands and thousands of independent titles that people are coming out with, how do you decide, what you're going to stock in your store? Because I know that every square foot of space in a retail establishment is valuable. How do you make those kinds of decisions?
Well, basically, when you're going through, they come out on a monthly basis with something called Preview Magazine, and it's available to any consumer out there who wants to see comics. But it gives you an idea of the comics that are coming into the market, and they give you 2 months in advance. Stores like myself that have a very large following of VIP customers, I base a lot of my ordering off of what they want. If people come in and there's a demand for an independent comic book, I'm going to order some extra for the shelf. If I don't hear anything or I don't get a peep out of the customers as far as we do things like checklists and, talk about the comics and things, if I don't get a response, I need to make sure to put the money into the comics that are going to sell. One of the problems is, like you said, there are so many books out there, which is a great problem to have, because of selection, but it also comes down to today, with the economy being the way it is that you want to make sure that the majority of the books that you are ordering are what your customers want and that they are going to sell. So that's how we basically look at everything is, if a writer is doing something as an independent, is it a big writer? Is it Kirkman? Is it Loeb? These are the things that we're looking for to see, is there a following with these people? Josh Whedon, he comes out with Serenity or a new Buffy title. There's going to be a demand for those. the independent guy who just started a comic, wanted to write a comic, it's very difficult for them. And Diamond does now have a restriction on, they have to have a minimum order before they'll even carry those books. So it does make it difficult for them, and we receive a lot of phone calls, people trying to pump up the books so they can increase their sales. But it's one thing that we have to do very methodically.
Now, you talk about your startup and what motivated you to start your store, and that, you know, those are factors that me as a parent and a consumer as well also appreciate. You know, you and I talked a little bit about before the show about how a lot of comic stores start and fail. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'll give you an example. I opened up in 2000 and knew very little about the industry, but I had a desire, and my desire was to bring the best shop I could to the consumer. Many people open up stores, and since I have opened in 2000, five stores here in Lexington have opened and closed. They've opened for the wrong reasons. When somebody tells me they want to open up a business, the first question I ask them is, why? If you don't have a hard enough why to drive you to be there to make it successful, it's going to be difficult to make it a success. Many of these places open up because they do think it's just going to be cool. A gentleman recently opened up a shop that closed after 6 months because he had a large collection, and he felt that if he put his collection in a store, he'd make a fortune. Yet he didn't want to be in the store to work it. So if he didn't care to be there, nobody else cared to be there.
Right.
And within 6 months, it closed up. A lot of people just aren't business people, and they don't understand ordering, inventory, supply, demand. And they go in and they do this, and then they fail. Great example, I was in Florida, the most beautiful shop I'd ever seen, wood floors, wood fixtures, and I overheard an employee say to the owner, or say to a customer, we're moving your folder to a different store, we're no longer carrying new comics. And I pulled the owner aside, I said, did I hear him correctly? And he said, yeah. And he said, because the distributor was too hard to work with. And so I walked around the store, and when I did, I saw his problem. He was ordering 40 and 50 copies of books that we wouldn't order one of. So he had too much outlay and not enough cash flow coming in. But he wanted to blame the distributor.
Right.
It didn't work that way.
Now, you know, with all of those things and making those smart choices, many comics shops that I've been in, including yours, have things other than comic books and graphic novels. What are some of the things that somebody might find walking into A+?
Well, A+ Comics, we are very diversified. It's one of the things that, because of the industry in comic books, and with the economy being the way it is, you have to be diversified. We do carry a lot of collectible toys. We have the largest selection of graphic novels. We carry magic and card games. We even carry used board games. We carry magic players walk in, we carry the single cards. If a customer walks in, we have 50-cent comic books. We try to have a very diversified, eclectic group of things in the store so that if somebody comes in, they can find something they want. It's too difficult today to try to make it strictly as a comic book store without graphic novels, strictly as a gaming store without a diversified field of gaming. And then on top of that, there's those people out there who just want to collect superhero toys. So you have to have a little bit of everything in the store.
And I've been to your shop, and actually I was surprised to see a lot of what I call old-school role-playing games, things that I played back in, you know, the early 80s, a lot of the TSR content, and I was very pleased to see that there was somebody that was still, you know, perpetuating the availability of that, so that was really cool. You talk about the customers and the things that they're looking for. And what are some of the things that you do at your store that really reaches out to the different communities, some of the services that you provide to the collectors and the gamers and things like that?
Well, we do, on the comic side, we have what we call our VIP customers. And our VIP customers are allowed to come in. We do a monthly checklist so they can see everything coming out 2 months in advance. So they make sure they get the number one issues or those mini-series that they might have missed if they didn't have a checklist. We have the pull subscriptions so that every week their books are ready to go. But we also do a lot of events. We're very community-oriented. So on Saturdays, we do Yu-Gi-Oh! For the kids. On Sunday, we do Pokemon for the kids. Last summer, we actually did as a customer appreciation, we actually had a casino night at the store where customers came in and they got $1,500 in chips and nobody had to pay anything. And they just came in and we had blackjack and we had horse racing and casino or the roulette wheel and craps and, you know, and whoever won, who had the most chips at like 11 o'clock that night, we gave out $100 in gift certificate and the $50. And that's the thing is we want to make sure that the customers know that we do appreciate what they do and that is support the store. When the Walking Dead TV series came on, we went out, bought a surround sound system just so we could watch The Walking Dead with our customers in our store.
Awesome.
And that was also very popular with our customers to do so. So, you know, we try to look at making sure that our customers feel appreciated. And, you know, sometimes it costs us a couple extra dollars. Customers come in and I might not be able to order something. We'll go the extra step and we'll even order it offline and pay more than what the product's worth, but still sell it to the customer at cover price. Now, the customer might not even know we did that, but it's the guarantee that the customer gets what they want. You know, Free Comic Book Day was huge this year. That's a yearly thing we do. And, you know, we offer all kinds of different specials and sales. We do things on Facebook. We do things with Twitter. You know, that's the big key, is we want people to feel that when they come into A-Plus Comics, it's not a hangout. It's not just a shop. It's like a home. And we want them to know that they are cared about as a customer, not just as a dollar sign.
And I did get that. I do get that feeling when I come in your store. You mentioned Free Comic Book Day. That's a great segue into some of the things that I wanted to ask you about. Things that, from a consumer's perspective, who doesn't know the behind the scenes of running a retail operation, things that we think might be awesome for the comic book store. And I'm pretty sure that Free Comic Book Day is one of those things. I know that it's been going on for a few years now, and the industry really gets behind it and putting out, I think this year there was like 35 free titles that were available. How does Free Comic Book Day help your store and affect your customer base? And, you know, does it really bring in new readers and such, do you find?
It can. It's one of those things where it's called planting a seed. If you get kids in and getting them to get some free comics, then hopefully you're planting the seed that will grow, that as they get older, that they might become comic collectors or want mom and dad to bring them back to the shop. Free Comic Book Day is a tremendous thing that is done in the industry. But one of the things, and I don't know if you know this or not, one of the misnomers or misconceptions is that Free Comic Book Day is free to the retailers. And a lot of people don't realize that we pay for those books. So we're giving away these books. And, you know, sometimes you'll get people who come in and they think that they should be able to get 10 of each comic book. And, you know, and there's people that you only see on Free Comic Book Day. And I don't follow them around, but I assume they just run around to all the different shops. The thing is that what it brings in is it brings in families. I know, for example, on our Facebook page, we had a customer go home, and he had his little girl there, and she was so excited holding up her Mickey Mouse comic book. He took some pictures and put them on our Facebook wall. just to show that, you know, it was a family involved thing, even though he's traditionally the comic book collector.
That's really cool.
The Free Comic Book Day is getting such a push, and it's now becoming a standard in the industry that other places are wanting to be involved. Libraries, we want to be involved with. We gave some stuff away to some of the schools, and just to try to promote the comic industry, reading, but also the whole family aspect of that too.
But that, you know, that's interesting. You know, I was unaware of that. I actually did think that it was free to the retailers, but I'm glad that I'm glad that they do that. I'm glad that the stores support it, and definitely here at Behind the Mask and Readers Entertainment, we do support all the efforts for literacy and promoting reading to people. Another thing that, in my mind, I think might help the comic book retailer. A lot more so now than in the past. We're seeing apparently Hollywood has run out of original things, and they're looking to comic books for content, which as a comic collector, I think it's great. I love watching Batman on the screen. I love watching the X-Men on the screen. But we're seeing more and more each summer the number of comic-related movies is increasing. I know this year we've got three or four with Thor and Captain America, Green Lantern, etc. Priest that just came out was based on a Korean graphic novel. Do you find as comic book retailer that when you've got those blockbusters, you know, we just had Thor, we've got X-Men coming out, going to the midnight show and tonight, do those bring new comic book readers to a retailer?
The greatest aspect of the movies is the entertainment value. The advertising aspect of that is that it keeps the superheroes alive as far as in the minds of the audience. But the greatest aspect of comic book readers, and you know, specifically the numbers I'm not sure, but 99% of, let's say, comic book readers will go to the superheroes, see the movies. They want to see the movies. But then the population that actually goes to see the movie, less than 3% of those people are actually comic book readers. It's kind of like the old adage when you said to somebody, did you read this book? And everybody said, I'm waiting for the movie to come out. Well, that's what's happening. People weren't comic book readers, but when the movie came out, they said, hey, I want to go see that. And that's what we run into. We have to be able to tie in our own form of advertising to get the word out that, hey, we're here, and we delve in this superhero world, and you're more than welcome to come to our location to be able to get some of your hobbies here, too, or to adventure into something you've never been in before. But we have to take advantage of that ourselves. The movies themselves don't drive droves of people into the theater. I wish it did.
You mean into the store?
Yeah. It drives them into the theater. I wish it drove them into the store.
Well, that's interesting because I would have thought, as an outsider looking in, that, you know, with the advent of Thor and, you know, everybody's rushing to the theater to see Thor, that there would be, I don't know, some sort of rekindled movement to support Thor and find out all about him. But it's interesting to find out that that's not the case.
Well, what actually happens is, and they're doing it right now, is in the industry, they're making a Thor movie, so they bring out tons of Thor comic books. What actually happens to the comic book reader is they go, okay, Thor's overdone right now. Now they're doing Captain America. Okay, we're kind of overkill on the Captain America comic books. You know, the one thing that kind of makes me nervous is Disney owning Marvel.
Right.
Because with Disney will tell you about its fans, but the truth of the matter is Disney is owned by bean counters, and those are guys who look at every penny.
Right.
My concern is that they're going to look at the comic book industry instead of looking at it as a advertising this for their movies or advertising for their toys, I worry that they are going to look at the industry of comic books and say, you know, we're just not generating enough profit. And we've seen that with the price hike to $3.99. At some point, and right now is a great example, you have to make a decision between a gallon of gas and a comic book.
Well, that's true.
And we have seen in the industry people saying, you know what, I need the gas more than I need the comic. DC has done a phenomenal job where they now call it draw the line at $2.99, and they went back to $2.99. We just hope to God that Marvel sees this and goes back to $2.99 and realizes that the comic book industry is here, and it is one of the greatest forms of advertising, because Captain America comic book is advertising your Captain America movie, and it
right.
keeps it in the hearts and the minds of the readers. So let's just hope that they go back to the $2.99 price tag.
Well, it's interesting you talk about, you know, DC making that price cut. One of the things that I'm seeing a lot now, you know, everybody has an iPhone or a smartphone or an iPad or whatever. There are tons of apps that are comic book related. DC Comics
sure.
has their own. Marvel has their own. Several of the studios. Dark Horse just recently announced, you know, opened their Dark Horse digital store. Then you've got other places like Comixology, Graphically, et cetera, that are bringing content, comic content, digitally to the public. And obviously they're focusing at those people who are comic book collectors, and hoping, I'm sure, to spread, to strengthen and enlarge the audience. How does the advent of the digital technology affect you as a brick-and-mortar retail operation?
The digital comics, as of today, I don't fear them yet. I just read about how they're saying that the people who are getting into the digital comics are into the digital comics already. People who discovered digital comics might not have been comic book readers in the past, and so this might be a convenient way for them to read comics. But the true collector of comic books wants that in his collection.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily want it on his computer. He wants to be able to open it up, turn the page, you know, and that's what makes it so darn exciting, is being able to do that, to have it in your hand, to have that substance. This is a entertainment, got-to-have-it-yesterday mentality world, but that is one of the great things about the comic book industry, is that it still is a collector's enjoyment to be able to say, I have the entire run of 1 through 50 of this book. I have the entire genre of Preacher or The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead has become so popular that they
right.
started reprinting from the beginning on a weekly basis. And the collector wants those individual issues. You know, we've seen the days of comics ever being worth $1 million. They're gone. If you don't have Action Comics number one or the first Amazing Spider-Man or the first
right.
Batman, those days are gone. The digital technology that's out there today, what I read was that they believe the people who are into that will not leave the comic book for the digital. They might enhance reading old books by getting onto the digital, but they'll never leave the ability to have that in their hand. And the great thing is that if they're reading the digital, that maybe the digital might drive them into the store and they might pick up a graphic novel and go, you know, I'd rather have a library in my office of graphic novels that I can pull off the shelf than having to sit at my computer or my laptop.
Right. And I know that there's been a trend toward the graphic novel, the compilation of multiple issues of a book. Do you find that is becoming more appealing for somebody to say, you know, I'm going to grab the graphic novel because it's got issues 1 through 10 in it versus buying 1 through 10 every month?
You know, that is where the trend is. And because we are a instant gratification world today, some people, there's a lot of them out there who do, and who they want the whole story now.
Right.
They talked about, for example, The Walking Dead, Fables, trying to think of some of the other books that have been out there that have Bone, for example. Bone took 12 years to write, and when it was done coming out, they did a large version for, I don't know, it was $39.95, and my employee said, Russ, you've got to read this. And the thing is three inches thick. And I said, I don't want to read that. Holy cow, look at the size of that book. I picked up the book, and I read it in a weekend. I couldn't put it down. I was so blown away. I couldn't imagine having to wait 12 years to read this book. But the thing is that people who want to come in who don't have a lot of time, those are the people who are coming in going, you know what, I want to get these graphic novels. That's the other thing that we do is we have a used graphic novel section, but we also do something called trade in your trades. You got old graphic novels laying around?
I think we might have lost you there, Russ.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay.
I heard the English lady and it scared me.
Oh, okay.
But the people come in and they trade in their trades to do what? They get some A-plus bucks, what we call them, and they go around and they get more trades. So it's actually a different type of collector now getting the trades. And a lot of the people who maybe missed out on a miniseries, they look forward to getting that trade too. So it's another one of those things that as long as everything keeps pointing back into reading and the trade format will be a continued success for those who can't get all the individual issues.
You know, that's a lot like people who can't wait every week to watch an episode of a TV show, so they don't bother watching any of it, and they wait and they buy it on DVD and watch it all in one weekend. That's a similar thing. Go ahead.
I'm that guy.
Do you think that the trade will run out the monthly issues at any point in the future?
My concern for the monthly issues is the increased pricing. People don't realize that when I get a box of comic books, it weighs 50 pounds. That 50 pounds costs a lot of money to ship. Everything we get, including comic books, clothing, you go to fast food restaurants, and for a fast food meal, you're almost paying what you used to pay, you know, if you went to an Applebee's or a TGI Fridays for a hamburger. Everything is continuing to go up. And my big thing is that all this is being done, and I hate to say it, but it's all being generated because of gas prices and oil. Just because when they ship something, it has to be on a truck or it has to be on a plane.
Right.
And that's driving up prices everywhere. So my concern is long-term, the industry. It's a scary thought that there might be a time when there's no comic books. I don't see that happening today. I don't see it happening next year. But if Disney looks at the comic book industry and goes, you know, that part of our business isn't making enough money, who knows, maybe someday
right.
We know we're just going to stop doing this. And that's a big thing when you get into conglomerates and large companies like that. That's what makes the independent guy so great, is because he's out there struggling. And I guarantee that when he wrote his first comic book, he probably lost money.
Right.
He probably lost money. And so that's why it's great when these people come in who support the independent comic books and give them a shot, because you're going to have to discover these people, because a lot of the big names that we have today, they're going to move on to TV and movies and get out of the comic book industry.
Well, Russ, I hate to cut you short. We just have a few seconds. Can you let people know where they can get a hold of you on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah. On Facebook, you just go to A-plus Comics. And to be honest with you, I can't remember what our thing is on Twitter. But our address is 123 Southland Drive, and then go to 859-276-1118 if they want to call and have any questions.
Awesome. Russ Battaglia, I really appreciate you joining us tonight on Behind the Mask. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, buddy.
And thank you to all our listeners for joining us here tonight on Behind the Mask. Have a good night, and we'll see you again next week.